Welcome to the Eric in the Morning Podcast on 101.9 The Mix Chicago. All right, take it away, Eric.
ComEd will never come to your home or business to ask for your account information or demand immediate payment, but scammers will. If you think you've been the victim of an energy scam, please visit ComEd.com/scamalert. So, Mimo says, all right, I'm going to make some homemade Christmas decorations. I'm going to throw those out in the yard. Does exactly that. Yeah, it's been a little windy and stuff's going on. And then going for a walk with her husband and goes, wait a minute. That's our Christmas decoration in the neighbor's yard down the street.
Yeah.
All right. A variety of scenarios could have taken place. Could have blown down the street and the neighbors didn't know. They thought, oh, look at this cool Christmas decoration. They put it up. Right? Mm-hmm. Maybe maybe the neighborhood kid stole it because he liked it and put it in the mom and dad's yard. So she's like, do I steal it back and put it back? Well, then maybe the neighbor goes, I can't believe this person stole our decoration we found. And they think there's a double steal going on.
Right. And then do you steal it back again?
I don't know. Nick, Headless. How do you feel the best way to resolve this? What might it be?
I think you just, like, go to the door and, ask them, tell them how much you, like, admire their decorations. And then sort of ask, like, hey, where did you get that one? And see what kind of answer they gave. And after that, like, decide whether you want to say it's ours or just say, you know what, let them have it.
I see. A little subtle detective questioning. Mm-hmm. Leading the witness.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Just see where it takes you. If they're like, oh, yeah, well, we just found it. It was in the middle of the street. It blew down. Is that when you go, well, yeah, it blew down out of my yard.
Well, I don't know, because then they know that you're, like, like checking on them.
Right. Thank you, Nick.
Want to catch them in a lie.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Nick. Hi, Kyle.
Hi.
Hi.
I would just go be honest and say this is going to be a really odd conversation, but that's my decoration. I don't know how it got in your yard. I don't care how it got in your yard. I made it, and I want it back, so can I please go and plug it and take it?
While that works, I really struggle with honesty on true crime.
That's not the way this would unfold.
Right, but you're probably right, Kyle.
Yo, I love that.
Yeah, is that the way you would do it? Thank you, Kyle. Is that the way you would do it, Whip?
You know, here's the thing. That's the way, in theory, I would have it drawn up in my head, and then I'd get there, and I'd be way more of a wuss about it. Like,
I'd be terrified.
Excuse me, I think that might be mine, but I'm not sure. If it's not, it's okay.
Right.
That's what actually comes out of it, yeah.
That's why you got to actually, on your decorations, write your name, address.
You should.
Eye color.
Absolutely, like a little hologram.
Hey, by the way, more on eye color coming up today on the show.
Oh.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
How do you solve our true crime?
So I honestly would probably have the decoration in my hand, ring the bell, and then just thank them so much for finding the decoration that I had spent hours making and was heartbroken that it was lost, and just wanted to say thank you for putting it in your yard so I could find it.
Giving them an out where they can go, hey, no problem, we're happy to help you.
Yeah.
Plus, if it goes wrong, you have a weapon in your hands.
Yeah, I was just thinking that it's not confrontational, and you get your, you get your decoration you back. You let them know you made it.
You can hit them with the decoration if things go south.
Thank you, Karen.
And then back to the
hit them with the decoration.
I mean, if you need to, you're approaching someone's house unexpected.
Yeah, if the conversation goes sideways, just club them with your homemade Santa.
I think what Violetta was. Right. Yeah, I think she was thinking this true crime show is getting a little boring. We need to spice this up with some weaponry.
With some violence.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's missing violence.
Right.
That's what the holidays
homemade
are.
Homemade decorations, Christmas, neighborly ex, clubbing a guy over the head. All right, I got three people we're going to find out in this morning's Eric in the Morning list from hacking into Santa's Naughty or Nice list, where they fall. All right, if they're nice, they get a prize. Swanee, we'll set them up with one of those Eric in the Morning prize packs if they're nice. Yeah? I don't know. Swanee shrugging. I love that. Let's go with that. If they're naughty, Swanee, if they're naughty, then give them one of those, too.
Package.
Oh, do we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. We'll give them that. Everybody's going to win. Just a second. We'll explain it in a moment. Hi, Nick. You're in at number three.
Good morning, guys. How are you guys doing?
Great. How's your 2020?
It's been okay.
Yeah.
I just turned 21 in past July. And...
Oh, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. You out ripping it up, Nick?
Yeah, I've been trying to
Wait
make
a second.
It work.
What?
Is it Nick?
Yeah.
I've called him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Called him Nick like four times.
Okay. I was looking up Ramon, but I was thinking about something else.
You want to take some time off and
No. Okay, I'm
Ramon.
Nick. Because that's the prize name.
They're very simple.
Nick, I am so sorry. Happy 21st birthday.
Happy birthday. Love birthdays.
Yes.
Swanee,
I'm doing it.
Swanee, why don't you just...
What, are you drinking my coffee?
He's smelling her. Smelling her coffee.
I don't know what you're doing.
I'm sweating.
Nick, do you think you were naughty or nice in 2020, according to Santa's hacked list?
I believe I'm a nice guy. You know, a nice guy finished last up, but, you know, that's who I am.
That's the way to look at it. I'm finishing last in 2020. Nick says he was nice. What was Nick?
Nick came in as nice.
There it is.
All
like,
right.
Yeah.
We call him Saint Nick.
Yeah. What a great day, Nick.
Yeah,
congratulations.
You're so jolly. That
morning.
Hold on, buddy. Prize for Nick.
Yes, you've won $100 gift.
We'll get to all of them. Yeah, hold on. Hold on. We'll get into it at the end. You have seriously.
Here,
stand up.
Okay.
take a deep breath.
I am breathing.
We're going to go through from point A to point B on this.
I'm going to let you take the lead.
Thank you. Thank you. Just follow.
I'm going to follow.
Follow my lead. I'll get you where you need to go.
Okay. Blindly following.
At number two, hi, Lori.
Hi, good morning.
How's your 2020?
Oh, it's coming to an end soon.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah. Okay. Now, do you feel like you've been naughty or nice this year?
Well, I've been enclosed in a house for most of the year, so I've been pretty good, I think.
Okay. All right. Okay. She's feeling nice. And Lori, how do you spell your name?
The long way, L-A-U-R-I-E.
L-A-U-R-I-E. Take your time, Violetta. No rush.
Okay,
we've got until 10.
All right.
We're going to be fine. Jane Lynch on the show a little bit later on. Going to talk to Dr. Kevin Most here in just a couple minutes.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Plenty of time. Go ahead. Lori believes she's going to be nice. What is she?
You're naughty.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Bad person. Sorry, Lori. But valuable prizes coming your way. Happy 2021. Try
Thank
to do better
you.
Next year. Hold on. And then finally, in at number one, Yolanda.
Yes, sir.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
How was your 2020?
It's going so far. No complaints, thankfully.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you feel like it's been a naughty year or a nice year for you?
It's been a nice year. There's been nothing to do, so I can't be naughty.
That's right. That's right. Yolanda, we're about to hack our way into Santa's list. Yolanda, well, all three of our people think they're nice. What is Yolanda, Violetta?
Naughty!
No!
Oh, great. Good for you.
That's a lie. I called BS on that one.
Santa, you liar.
Liar, liar. See, you're calling Santa a liar. Yeah. You're totally naughty.
Yeah, that's naughty in and of itself.
That's total crap. A lot of important information to get to today. A lot of important information to sort out. Right on top of the list is the McRib is back today. Let's remember that. Yeah, let's remember that.
Do you enjoy that?
Oh, I love me some McRib. Like, I'm thinking right after we talk to Dr. Kevin Most, we line up, we all go get lunch, we all go get McRibs.
I've never had one.
Oh, today's the day.
Do you do it with the pickles and the onions?
Well, it comes with it, yeah. Hey, Dr. Most, do you like a McRib?
Oh, you have to. The fresh onions and the pickle and barbecue sauce.
He knows.
So
good.
You kidding?
Yeah.
It's back nationwide today.
You know, there's a lot of good stuff that's coming out now, at least from a vaccine standpoint. We're joined by Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer with Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Now, Dr. Most, WHIP has been reporting. We heard the news over in England. They have officially approved the Pfizer vaccine and are going to begin in the next couple of days. When is that going to happen here?
Probably. We'll probably have it approved the 10th, we'll probably have it available the 14th, 15th, and have it out.
Okay.
This is one time where we don't mind being in second place, to be honest with you, because this vaccine has to be stored at minus 70. There's a lot of logistical issues with it. So it'll be kind of nice to see how the UK handles it for a week. We can learn from them. But we'll have it ready here to go in Chicago well before the end of the year.
I saw a report yesterday, and the number escapes me. I'm just going to throw one out, that we received something like 23,000 doses or something like that allocated to Chicago. So a small amount to begin things. Is that accurate? Do you guys have any? How's that work?
Yeah, so I signed the paperwork 2 weeks ago to get it here for Central DuPage. So the state of Illinois, if I'm not mistaken, is going to get about 110,000, and then it'll be distributed. And then it's going to continue to roll out after that. Everyone's looking at that initial number. We're looking at it more of, okay, give us a little bit so that we can work with it. And then as we learn to do mass vaccinations easier, that's when we want that big allocation, probably in January.
All right, let's talk about that part. First, who will get it? It is the first responders, I've heard, and the elderly and the nursing homes, that area will get it first. And then the mass vaccinations. Are we going to see something along the lines of, well, people lined up, like down the block, waiting to come in places? Is it going to be like that?
You would hope that there will be. And, I mean, that's not me being mean. That's me saying that people accept the vaccine and they want to be proactively getting the vaccination. So now it's going to be a matter of supply and demand. And then really it's going to be how are we going to vaccinate mass people? You know, how many sites are we going to have? Let's make sure that we've learned from our testing that that's not the best way to do this. And let's make sure we have multiple sites closer to their homes so that we don't have people in long lines.
So I'm looking at the list, and it says first responders and the elderly, those in need. Then it says teachers and police will likely come second. I'm scanning. I'm going all the way down here. I do not see radio people on here anywhere.
Turn the page.
Turn three pages. Yeah, right.
still nothing.
Oh, well.
So how long, you know, everybody's saying that, and I believe last time we talked to you, you thought that it was realistic that we could have the possibility to at least have the option to have everybody vaccinated by June? Is that, you still feeling that way?
Yeah, I'm still feeling it's going to be probably, I would say, May and June is when we're really going to see the big push to have the public done. Now, we have to be careful, though. That being said, when you look at the timing of this vaccine, it's going to take another 40 days from when you get that first vaccine to have protection. You get the first shot, 21 to 28 days later, you get the second. 14 days later, you have immunity. So it's not like you're going to get the shot and where everyone's going to take off their masks.
Good tip. A lot of people haven't thought of that or haven't really factored that part in. That's an excellent point to make. Yes, Webb?
Yeah. So once the vaccines are available to everybody, let's say that's May, June, whatever it is the goal to get to herd immunity? And if so, how will we know when we're there?
Yeah, that's exactly the goal. Herd immunity is going to be the thing that's going to protect those that decide not to get the vaccine, as long as that number is low enough. We know that the way that this virus spreads, that we're going to have somewhere between 70 and 80%. So if you look at, say, our positivity rate of 12%, multiply that, get it up to 20, we're still going to have 40 to 50% of people take the shot that hadn't been ill in order to get even close to herd immunity.
Now, we keep hearing post-Thanksgiving, what's the official term from Dr. Fauci?
Surge upon a surge.
Surge upon a surge is going to hit in the next 7 to 10 days. Do you believe that? Is that accurate? What kind of numbers, what kind of hospitalizations are we going to be stretched to capacity?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We've seen a little dip here, and we're kind of keeping our fingers crossed, knowing that that's a false dip. It is going to rise back up. But we're probably going to be looking... probably end of next week is we're looking at, boy, that's going to be a cap for us and a high point for us. The bad thing that we're all concerned about is, you know, Dr. Fauci said to surge on the surge. We have Christmas coming up right after that, and what's going to happen immediately after Christmas. So we're a little bit concerned for late December, and we're very concerned for early January.
Boy. And like you said, even if the vaccine became available to frontline workers to begin the process of herd immunity, it wouldn't take effect immediately. You don't get the immediate response after the shot. It's 28 days or however many days later, correct?
Yeah, it's going to be like 40 days later after your first shot. You know, you'll get some immunity early on, but really you're going to get that bigger immunity after the second dose, after that booster dose.
What about the other? Oh, go ahead.
That being said, we're still trying to do as many surgeries as we possibly can. I know you're concerned about your surgery.
Right.
I certainly, you know, we're looking at surgeries right now and tiering them. You would fall probably in the tier one, not a complete emergency, but, you know, someone that's going to get numbness, weakness, and that's not going to get better on its own, and it's not something that's cosmetic. We would encourage you to get that surgery done because you're talking about a one-night stay, which is going to allow your rehab to begin and go earlier. You postpone that longer, your weakness, your numbness is only going to get worse, and you're only an overnight stay, so it's not like you're taking a bed for a week.
Right. Damn it.
Oh, you're trying to avoid it?
Man. I thought I was going to catch a break.
Yeah.
I never catch a break on this stuff.
Never.
What about the secondary companies that we keep hearing? Not secondary, but the second level of the next, you know, vaccines, the Modernas, the AstraZenecas, that kind of thing. Where do we stand with that? Or the Johnson & Johnson, which was the one dose you kept telling us about.
Yeah, so Moderna is going to be right there with Pfizer. They're going to be lagging just a couple of days. They're looking at that data right now. AstraZeneca is the one that... excitement or disappointment, I don't know where I sit with this right now. I don't know if we spoke about it. But AstraZeneca, it's interesting, when they did their study, they messed up. And we don't like things that mess up. And what I say by that is, so they had the arm that was getting a full dose of vaccine followed by a full dose of vaccine. What they found is that some of those people didn't get the full dose, actually got a half dose on the initial shot.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know the bad thing? The guys that got the half dose had better protection than those that got the full dose.
Wow. That's
confusing. So now we're trying to figure out how can you have 90% immunity for someone that got the half dose and 60% immunity for someone that got the full dose.
It's very strange.
That's a little concerning.
Yeah.
Doctor, what about the treatments? Beyond the vaccine, the monoclonal antibodies and the Regeneron.
Now you're just showing off.
Well, no.
Now you're showing off.
Remember, we talked about it on the show. It sounds like something they're searching for in a James Bond movie. Got to get the monoclonal antibodies, the Regeneron.
Right.
From the Regeneron, yeah.
Could that help with all this, too? Like, even if not everybody is vaccinated, but that severely, you know, that seriously limits the severity of cases and maybe gets us back to normal sooner, too? Or am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy, and it hopefully will. The monoclonal antibodies, we started with them last week, so we're using them every day now. We're infusing people all across Chicago here at CDH as well. The one thing we have to realize is that this is good for people early on when they just get the symptoms and a concern that they may progress. These are not ones that we're using for patients in the hospital. As a matter of fact, it's been proven that it doesn't do well and, matter of fact, may hurt people that in the hospital. So this is something that may keep more people out of the hospital, which is great. So we just need doctors to be aware that the monoclonal antibody Regeneron is now available. And if they have that person who is a COPD or a congestive heart failure person who now tests positive, get them in line for the monoclonal antibodies right now.
Right. And it's also, I believe, the storyline for the next Mission Impossible movie.
Exactly.
Could be.
I think. And finally, Dr. Mose, before we let you go, when are the Kansas Jayhawks going to man up and get back on the football field?
Well, I don't know if you watched the game last night, but we beat Kentucky. Oh, you're talking football. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Football,
yeah, the real
sport. We don't think about football. Basketball has started, and we just beat number 20 Kentucky last night. So.
Oh, hey, so you can't trash talk when that happens, Eric.
Ooh. And you know what, Eric? Take the win. We'll give you the Texas-Kansas win. Why even play the game?
That's right. I even say that, too. Why don't you guys just call Texas and go, you guys win. Take it.
Yep.
And finally, Dr. Kevin Most, we hacked into Santa's naughty or nice list. We've looked up the name Kevin. Any thoughts on where you might fall on the naughty or nice list?
Boy, it better be nice.
What say, Violetta?
How do you spell your Kevin? Because there's a couple.
K-E-V-I-N.
Oh, no.
And Violetta, just to tell me, don't tell me it's naughty, just because I have the rest of the day to work.
Uh-huh. It's naughty.
Oh,
my goodness.
Sorry, Dr. Most.
Go That's figure. Okay.
You're always on our nice list.
Yeah, we still trust you.
Butt kissers. All right. Thank you, Dr. Most. You're the best. I'll catch up with you soon, okay?
You got it. Take care, guys.
Bye. Yeah.
Dr. Kevin Most, your chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Top three things trending on Twitter right now over there at the social media desk. Violetta, here we go. Number three.
Spotify is trending as they start to drop users' 2020 data. As people are looking back at their listening habits for this year, they realize just how depressed they were.
Oh, my God.
Because it's all slow songs. So it's kind of funny. Everybody's listing, you know, their top lists.
Nice. The most streamed artist globally, according to the Spotify Whip the Weeknd, Post Malone, Harry Styles, Dua Lipa, no surprise. But in at number one, your favorite, Bad Bunny.
Oh, Bad Bunny's the best.
Love me some Bad Bunny.
Of course.
Yeah, yeah, your most streamed female artist globally, Halsey, Dua Lipa, Ariana, Taylor, and Billie Eilish.
Yep, I was going to guess those.
I saw Ariana is a big proponent right now of the upside down Christmas tree.
Is that true?
I don't get that.
Yeah, it's a problem.
Okay.
I don't get that more than I don't get the white Christmas trees that everyone's doing.
It's a big problem. Trending on Twitter, number two.
Pete Davidson is set to lead an all-star version of It's a Wonderful Life, kind of. It's going to be a live table read, not really a movie, but he's taking over from Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And you can catch that live stream on December 13th.
Dire Wolves are dope.
Yeah, that's what he says.
He's
and
right.
Finally, trending on Twitter, number one.
It's Britney, bitch, is trending in honor of Britney Spears' birthday today.
It is her birthday.
Yes, she turns. Does anyone want to guess?
I can tell you. 39.
Yeah,
that's Britney all. Is 39. That's all.
I know. I was thinking she had to be in the 40s.
She looks
by now.
A little worn out. I hear what you're saying, Whip. But 39's Yeah.
You're right. That's true. I was just thinking 40-something.
It's a big birthday day for singers, like Nelly Furtado.
Oh, Nelly Furtado.
Oh, wow. Whatever happened to her?
42. Charlie Puth's birthday today, the Puther.
Oh, is he like 23?
29.
Oh.
29, the Puther. Rick Savage from Def Leppard. Swanee wanted to get that one in.
How old is
Rick? He's 90.
He looks not a day over 98.
Yeah. No, he's 60.
Oh.
And oddly enough, this one, Bears fans, you ready?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers' birthday today.
Oh, boy. Oh, no.
What do you think Aaron is?
Like,
annoying.
38.
Calm, cool, collected at 35.
35. Oh, 37.
37, okay. Yeah. And he's all over those State Farm commercials driving me crazy.
True. I used to love when he was dating Olivia Munn.
Yeah, the good old days. That it?
Yeah, that's
Thank
it.
Thank you. Anybody listening who? Always wished you had your dad or your mom's job. Like, man, my dad had a great job. That
right,
was
that's so cool.
Yeah, like you would go with your mom or dad to work. You're like, this is awesome. This is what I wish I could do.
Totally.
As opposed to Sting, he's like, I saw my dad go to the shipyard every day and come home and smell like fish. Mm-hmm. And I went, I am not doing that. 312-233-1019. Hey, Susan.
Hi.
Grew up, your dad had a cool job.
Oh, yeah. He was a veterinarian, large and small animals, for 40 years.
Wow.
Ooh.
That's impressive.
And then he wrote a book. After he retired, he wrote a book.
Oh, stop it.
The Veterinarian's Handbook.
Wow.
Yeah. So every day was like, if you got invited to go to work with your dad, it was like, you thought to yourself, this is going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah. I got to go out on farm calls. I got to watch surgery.
Wow.
Got to see a lot of neat animals.
And what do you do for a living?
I am a case manager for life insurance.
If somebody came to you right now, somebody like the veterinary fairy came to you, the vet fairy, and said, I can sprinkle veterinary dust on you and you could be one right now, would you do it?
I think I would.
There you go.
That's awesome.
What I'm talking about.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. If I think there are vet fairies.
I think you're right.
They do exist.
They're around.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi. Mom or dad had a cool job.
My grandma. So she was one of the first working women in the 50s and 60s, and she wrote for the Chicago Daily News, which doesn't exist anymore.
Sure.
But she interviewed celebrities. She interviewed John Travolta, Joan Rivers, John Sutherland.
Wow. Your grandma was like the original celebrity reporter.
I love it.
Totally. And she even wrote a memoir about like all the stars she interviewed, and she's just got like photos with them, and
what's her name? We gotta Google her.
Sandra Pussman.
All right.
She's awesome.
She is awesome.
Make her famous again.
Is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, she
totally.
Did.
Listen to this one. Anybody listening who had a mom or dad with a cool job, the kind of job you're like, I want their job. Zach.
Yeah.
Your dad.
My father was the captain of the bomb squad for the Florida County Sheriff's Department.
What?
Bomb squad captain.
Whoa, the captain of the bomb. Does that mean he gets to send the guys in to disarm the things?
Yeah. He was the one that got to put on the suit and go do all the fun stuff.
Oh.
Joe, you brought the coffee today. It was cold. Put on the suit. You're going in.
Yeah, to work today. A little late.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Now, it was fun in school. He would show up and do all the demonstrations and things in the field for people, and so... On big days when they would confiscate and do all that, they'd have to get rid of that fridge. Yeah, it was always kind of fun to get to be a little guy and get to see some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
That is something you tell around school with your friends. Yeah, you know, I don't know if you guys know my dad, bomb squad captain.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's a hard one to top when you're about 8 years old telling all your buddies.
Or ever.
Way to go, Zach. This is perfect with that Home Alone series.
It really is.
Not the movie, but the creepy, scary one.
People breaking in.
Woman refuses to give roommate's code to panic room in her bedroom. They rent a house. They've never lived together before. Let's just say there's three of them.
Yeah.
One of them is willing to pay more, so she gets the master suite.
Mm-hmm.
After moving into the master suite, she discovers, oh, look at this. There's a panic room in the back of my closet.
Mm-hmm.
Keypad with a code. Talks to the owner. The owner's like, yeah, here's the code. Now the roommate's like, you have a panic room? All right, we're going to need that code in case, you know, we get home invaded.
Yeah, this is all of our stuff.
And the woman's like, well, no, you're not. It's in my room, so it's kind of my panic room. Do you give the code or not? Whip, yes or no?
No.
I'm surprised by your response.
I know what.
I fully expected yes out of you.
I'm kind of on the floor. You got to go all through her room to get to it, right?
I got it, yep.
Okay.
I got it. Violetta, panic room?
Yes.
You give the code?
I do.
All right. Heather, do you give the code to the panic room to your roommates?
My first response is no way.
No way, Jose. Why?
No way.
Why?
Because she's paying extra for that room, and it's in her room. Right. So
that's the key. Extra not to be murdered by home invaders.
That is the key. It's her room. She's paying extra.
You want to pay more to not be murdered by home invaders? You do it.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Heather. Hi, Christine. Do you give the code to the panic room to your roommates or not?
No, I don't.
No.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Nobody.
No, I don't think we feel good about not giving it, but we just really, we don't want to.
What's your logic, Christine?
Oh, it's the same kind of thing. You know, she's paying extra for the extra room, and there's no telling who her roommates are going to drunkenly give it out to.
All right, let me ask you this then, okay?
Let
me throw it to you this way. All right, let's suppose, Christine, you and I move in and we're roommates, okay? All right?
She doesn't want to go with that.
She
won't go with that stipulation,
are you
counselor.
Are you still alive? All right, let's suppose we do that, right? And you're paying more for the master bedroom, and I'm living in the basement, okay?
Enjoy that.
All right. And I discover that you have a panic room, and you tell me that you're not going to give me the code. So I say to you, okay, Christine, I'll cut you a deal. We'll switch rooms, and I'll pay 15% more to you than you're paying right now. Do you switch with me, and I get the panic room?
No. But you should stay on the nice side of the person with the panic room.
Right.
Maybe they'll let you in.
Yeah. Somebody breaks in, you're like, help, let me in. You're like, I don't know.
Remember when you didn't do the dishes last week?
Yeah, I'm kind of paying more for this panic room.
I like the panic solo.
When you spoke to 10 callers, asked you the question, do you give the code to the panic room or do you not give the code to the panic room?
Wow.
Whip doesn't give it. Violetta does give it. All 10 of you said, I don't give it.
What? Really?
Oh, my God. I don't want to move in with any of you.
No, it's dangerous time.
I'm scared to death. I wonder if this is true. I guess it has to be because 80% of women say it is.
Huh.
Next morning, Mindbender. 80% of women. Finally, we know what you like. They like it when a man has a blank. Just have a blank. What is it? 312-233-1019. Your clues were... I'm going to try to get one. Okay. I'm likely going to get one next week.
Okay.
It generally falls under the rugged category.
Mm.
Whip, you don't think you have one of these?
When you throw the word rugged, I don't think of myself first.
Yeah.
I hope you both
have
one.
I have one right now, but it's not very good.
Okay.
That's not very...
You think you can get a better one?
Yeah, it's not very impressive or attractive. You might not, in fact, I'm going to be honest, you might not even be able to see it.
Wow.
All right. Hi there, Melissa. What is it?
Hi, is it a beard?
A beard is a very popular answer. That is not it.
Oh, okay. It's not?
That is not it.
Dang it.
No.
Well, my other guess, I don't think I want to say.
Lou, what is it?
Tattoo.
No. Oh,
good guess,
that is
though.
Not it. I am not getting a tattoo next week. I am not. No, 80% of women like it. It's rugged, and I might get one next week. What is it, Nina?
A scar?
Exactly right.
A scar.
A scar, particularly on your face.
Oh. That is so
or where you can see it.
True. Uh-huh.
You like a man with a scar, Nina?
I do.
Yeah, it has character. It's got a story.
A beard, a tattoo.
We got it all.
Together, you got the perfect man.
Oh, right, like big tattoo and like Post Malone. Like get them all over your face and a scar and maybe a little bit of a beard.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's great.
Not on the face.
80% of women like when a man has a scar that's evident, a scar she can see, a scar in his face. I got a scar up here on my head.
Yeah?
But you can't really see it.
Okay.
Can you see it?
Oh, you can see it. It's like, it's slicing down from your hairline a little bit.
Yeah. That was from a car accident when I was a kid.
See, that's the thing. It has a story, and then it's like a...
But I don't really have a story beyond that. I don't know the story beyond that.
Oh.
You know, it's just like a car accident. You got any scars on your face, Whip?
Not facially. I have one on my wrist and one on my knee.
Mm-hmm. I dated a guy once with a scar on his upper lip.
Right.
And that was
shaving
just,
incident?
No.
Or fight.
It wasn't that manly, but he fell like jumping a fence once when he was a kid and he hit like the cement or some, I don't know. He had some story. But you couldn't help but look at his lips and then look at the scar. And then you're just like, you're so manly, even though you got it as a kid.
When shown pictures of men with and without scars, women rated the scarred faces of a man as better looking.
Really? Wow.
Yep.
Shocking.
But scars did not enhance women's attractiveness to men.
Hey.
So we, you like our scars, but we're just like, oh, you got a scar, but it doesn't change the way we feel. We're not like, oh, you got a scar. We want that.
Because it's manly to have a scar. It's like you went through something.
I guess. 80% of women like when a man has a scar. A scar you can see, the kind of scar that has a story, the kind of scar that makes you rugged.
Yeah, it gives you character.
Yeah. You have a scar, but yeah, that story's not that great. Might want to change the story on it. These are good. Our
really?
Phone lines are jammed.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I love this. Hi, Jim.
Hey, hey, how you doing?
Great. You got a scar. It's rugged. It's cool.
Yeah, it's on my right butt cheek.
Congratulations.
What?
Yeah, not many people get to see it, but when they do, it's something special. How'd you get that?
As a kid, I sat down on a broken beer bottle.
There you have it.
Wow. That's actually pretty bad.
Yeah. But you got to add to the story. Sat down on a broken beer bottle at a biker gang fight.
Yeah.
You know, add the manly
after
element
I broke
to it.
It on top of someone's head.
Right. Exactly. I mean, like, look at this. Hi, Neri.
Hi.
You have a scar?
Yes.
And where
Upper
is
Island.
It? Where is it?
Upper Island. Ooh. Upper Island.
Upper Island. How'd you get that?
I got pecked by a chicken.
Okay.
Pecked by a chicken?
Yeah.
Yep.
Good thing the eyelid was closed.
Not the toughest story in the world. Yeah, so I'm in this chicken coop, right? This chicken comes up.
I was trying to steal the baby chick away from it.
Oh,
right.
Oh, you don't want to do that, Mama.
Mama chick protecting the baby chick.
Get you pecked.
Yeah, how'd you get that ice car? Well, so this chicken came up, right? I leaned over. God. I was going to pet it. And just decided to take my eye right out.
Yikes.
Your scars and how you got them. 312-233-1019. Hi, Matt.
Hey, so my my scar is on my arm, actually.
Yeah.
It's from in college. My roommate was a fencer, and so naturally we had some swords, so we decided to sword fight.
Sword fighting. Yeah. That's actually a fairly manly story. You can go with the, I got the scar from sword fighting.
In college with my roommate.
Yeah, just a quiet afternoon sword fighting, which can mean a lot of different things.
Sometimes it's the moment to strike.
Yeah. Be careful that you finish that story.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, what's up, Eric?
80% of women like a man like a man with a scar in his face, and you have one of those?
I have two of them, but one's another story. My second one, I'm a high school baseball coach. I was walking at practice from second base towards home, and there was a net up, and I thought I was behind the net, and at about 60 feet, I took a line drive off my chin.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
It looked great, though.
Did all the kids laugh?
No, they thought I was dead.
Right.
And after I took inventory of all of my teeth,
right.
And I realized that I was okay and all my teeth are there. But I did break my jaw, and I was wired shut for 3 weeks, and I lost 16 pounds. I looked fantastic. It was all over with.
Well, you lost weight. You got a cool rugged scar. We should all take a baseball off the chin.
Yeah.
Balls off the chin can mean a whole different thing.
Another story you better finish.
Yeah, you gotta be pretty clear on that story, don't you, Swanee?
Mm-hmm.
Out there on the baseball field. Ooh, a swinging little Christmas. Hi, Jane.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. This sounds great. Christmas is definitely here, huh?
Yes, indeed. Well, we start it right after Thanksgiving these days, and boy, do we need Christmas now, don't we?
Oh,
some cheer.
More so than ever. Do you enjoy doing, obviously you do, this kind of stuff, Jane Lynch, a swinging little Christmas. I mean, I mentioned multi-talented. You act, you sing, you do it all. Do you have favorites?
Well, for right now, I mean, I love being on stage with this band. That's a Tony Guerrero quintet that you're hearing there. And Kate Flannery, one of my best friends. She was Meredith the Drunk in the Office and one of the best singers I know.
She's the best. Other than you, that is.
Well, we make a really good team, I think, and we're not able to tour this year. We've been doing the City Winery there in Chicago. You know, I'm from Chicago, so
I
get all the family out and... so we really miss it this year. We'd be in the tour bus right now on our way to Chicago. But instead, I'm, hawking my wares, hawking the album, getting the music into people's living rooms instead of the stage at the City Winery or the Lyric where we've been before as well.
That's great.
You're still going.
Swinging Little Christmas, of course, it's available in stores now on Amazon or iTunes or Spotify or at JaneLynchChristmas.com. You can get it there. And yeah, that would have been nice to get you into town. And of course, your Chicago roots. Are you going to be able to join us at all for Christmas or because of everything going on, you staying home?
We're staying home. I always go to Chicago for Christmas because nobody does Christmas like Chicago. Mm-hmm. But this year we're staying home. We're sitting this one out, and we'll wait until next year. But it looks like hope is on the way, and hopefully things will get back to normal very soon.
Boy, 2020's been weird, huh?
It has. Tough.
You know, did you hear the great news for you, though, for 2020?
No, tell me, what is it?
You were just named the best meme of 2020. Have you seen the meme?
Wonderful. I think I know what you're talking about. I will create an environment so toxic.
That is it.
You're so
I
right.
Love it.
That is it.
I love it.
Sue Sylvester on Glee with the line, "I'm going to create an environment that is so toxic," was just named the meme of 2020, the best one.
It was. I love it.
Oh my,
I
and
love
your
it.
Face
I,
yeah, is perfect in it. You're just like,
thank you so much. It is so evil.
Exactly. Just like 2020.
So, yeah. Yeah, very much cartoon evil, like Boris Badenoff from Underdog. You remember that?
I do. Yeah. I do. You know what? And I played the Seth Rogen clip a second ago, and and you have worked with so many people, and this is something that just kind of occurred to me that I wanted to ask you about as someone who's worked with everybody. You always hear when people are on a set or a show or a movie or a stage or whatever that they become friends with their co-stars. They're like, oh, we stay in contact forever. And then my guess is as soon as it's over, you never hear from them again.
That's absolutely 100% correct.
Is it really? Okay. All right.
For the most part, yeah.
Because I was wondering, do you ever just wake up in the morning and go, I think I'll send Paul Rudd a text from when he worked on it with him or whatever it might be?
Nope. But I love him, and if I see him, we'll give him a hug and everything. But, yeah, we kind of I know there are some people who make friends, and I'm kind of envious of that. It's like, well, how do they do it?
Right.
Why don't
make friends with everybody?
So if you see Paul at Starbucks, you'll say hello and reminisce about the old days, but that'll be it.
Hey, yeah, exactly.
That is great. Yes, Webb.
Hey, Jane, I saw you on The Weakest Link last night because you're doing that too. So my question to you on that is, you seem to come up with those little witty barbs that you throw at people like so quickly. Like, do you plan those out ahead of time, or do those just come to your head? Because if so, you're a genius.
No, I don't. You can't plan those out. You have to just kind of be in the moment.
Yeah.
Those little zingers.
That's great.
Yeah. Are you enjoying that? Are you enjoying?
It is, you know, besides being on stage with Kate Flannery and the band, it is the best job in the world. I love it so much. I love trivia. I love all that useless information banging around in my head. I love learning. It's an education. I learn so much. And, I love having, a new crew of people every show. It's always a dynamic of its own. It has its own it has its own ebb and flow, and it's always fun.
Well, you do so much, and back to A Swinging Little Christmas. Do you have a favorite cut on there? Is there one that you enjoy performing the most?
Yeah, we're highlighting up on the housetop right now because it's such a swing and toe-tapping thing. But on the other side of the dynamic, we have a Taco Bell Canon / First Noel that will break your heart. It's one of the most gorgeous arrangements I've ever heard. And putting those two songs together, that's Tony Guerrero, our band leader and arranger. It was just genius, and I think you're going to love it. The album is just chock full. I think you'll love it.
You know, you put it on, and you just hang around and enjoy a cup of coffee in the morning, let Christmas wash over you, right?
Yes, exactly, and tap that toe.
That's right. Jane Lynch, A Swinging Little Christmas. Make sure you grab it now in stores, Amazon, iTunes, Spotify, or janelynchchristmas.com. Jane, you know how much we love having you on. You're always so kind with your time, and we hope you have a great holiday season.
You too.
Thanks.
You too. Take care.
See ya.
Keep crushing it.
Water skiing squirrels.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Lottery hamsters.
Now that's something.
Does a squirrel come into play on trending on Twitter?
Well, this whole trending on Twitter is top viewed YouTube videos for 2020.
Oh, wow. Okay,
and
great.
You know that we've watched a lot of squirrels and cats.
All right. In at number three.
In at number three is SNL's first debate, Cold Open, with Alec Baldwin and Jim Carrey. That got 29.9 million views this year.
That's interesting.
Okay.
Very interesting.
A lot of people watch that show, I think, like you've said you do.
Yeah.
Why bother watching the whole thing?
Exactly.
Just go to YouTube.
Trending on Twitter, number two.
The perfect squirrel-proof bird feeder video was from former NASA engineer who made that obstacle course that shows the impressive skills of those tree rats, squirrels. That got 59.8 million views.
That was amazing to watch.
It's unbelievable.
And it was kind of when COVID first started, so everybody was just like, had nothing to do. And this guy's like, I have nothing to do. I'm a NASA engineer. I'm going to build a squirrel track.
You know, say what you want about squirrels, but that that video proves that they're pretty brilliant overall. They are problem solvers.
In order to survive those winters they do, they have to be.
Yeah, where do squirrels go in winter? I was walking the dog the other day, and I thought to myself, I saw a bunch of squirrels. I'm like, where do they go?
Yeah.
Because you never in winter stumble across a squirrel nest.
Right.
And you see 8 billion squirrels.
That's any a good thoughts? Question.
Any thoughts?
Inside the trees, don't they? But there aren't a lot of holes in trees.
When's the last time you were walking around in January and stumbled upon like a squirrel's nest or a sleeping squirrel or whatever? Right.
Well, my question is, you know, they store the nuts away for winter. So where do they store them?
Where do they
go? Where we will find the squirrels.
You ever stumbled across that spot?
Good question.
Just a bunch
of
nuts.
You ever know anybody that has?
No, there is like a nest in my de-leafed tree in the backyard, which I think is a squirrel's nest, so maybe they're in there.
That could be. They got like 30 of them in there, because you don't see many of them.
Maybe they each build their own.
And trending on Twitter, number one.
The I bought the world's largest firework video posted by viral prankster Mr. Beast was him purchasing and exploding the biggest fireworks. That got 56.7 million views.
That one I missed.
Mr. Beast?
Yeah, Mr. Beast is his name. He's a prankster, and he set this all up. It's actually pretty impressive to watch the spectacular show. I don't think it's as impressive as our virtual fireworks show that we did here at the Mix.
Huge ass kisser.
How many views did that one get?
Come on, that was lame.
Mr. Beast.
It was lame. I mean, it was the guys did a great job, but it was lame to do that.
No, that was so exciting.
Almost, like, even after the fact, I think even Captain Hollywood, who will never concede anything to me, I think even he kind of went, all right, that was kind of too.
The best we could do at the time. Best anybody could do at the time.
Trying to make it okay.
You know, it was back in July. I don't know if we got 56 million views.
I'd rather watch a squirrel go through an obstacle course. That for me. ComEd will never come to your home or business to ask for your account information or demand immediate payment, but scammers will. If you think you've been the victim of an energy scam, please visit ComEd.com/scamalert.
Thanks for listening to the Eric in the Morning podcast. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe so you don't miss a moment of Eric in the Morning on 101.9 The Mix Chicago.